Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our discussion on the subject matter of Lord Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill. The lecture series was entitled The Hill That Thrills, and this morning we discussed the second part of this lecture series, and this evening we'll try and discuss a few more things from this wonderful story of Lord Krishna trying to lift the Govardhan Hill. So this morning we were talking about how when all the Vrindavan residents, Nanda Maharaj and others, were making elaborate arrangements for a fire sacrifice to Lord Indra, Lord Krishna came and told Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan that there is no need to go and worship Indra. You just worship the Govardhan Hill. It is the Govardhan Hill that's providing us with fresh green grasses for our cows. It's the Govardhan Hill that's giving us crystal clear waters for the people in Vrindavan. Worship the Govardhan Hill with all the paraphernalia and ingredients that were meant for service to and sacrifice for Lord Indra. So Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they take everything that was meant for Indra Puja and they divert all the resources meant for Indra Puja to now satisfy Govardhan Hill. They carry all the foods, they carry all the worship paraphernalia and put it all in front of Govardhan, Giriraj. And just as everything is put, everything is offered there to Govardhan, Giriraj, Lord Krishna personally assumes the form of Giriraj or Govardhan and accepts all the food offerings. Everything disappears. And when everything is over, massive food offerings, he starts shouting, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me more, give me more. And they go around, collect everything and bring it and offer it to Govardhan. And even that is over. And finally, when that is over, one Brahman comes and says, now there's nothing left. Put a tulsi on it and Krishna will be satisfied. Govardhan will be satisfied. So they come and put a tulsi leaf on the offerings. And the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, now as Giriraj or Govardhan, is completely satisfied. So, it's wonderful to see that Govardhan plays two roles. One role is that of God, and second role is that of devotee of God. It's a very strange thing. If one is a God, then he's not a devotee. And if one is a devotee, then he can't be God. You know, if all those who come to worship Krishna here are devotees of Krishna, they don't call themselves God. And when Krishna is standing there on the altar, we don't call Krishna a devotee. But Govardhan plays these two roles, the role of Krishna and the role of a devotee of Krishna, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He plays the role both of God and a devotee of God. 500 years back, Krishna is thinking to himself that people in this age of Kali Yuga, they're very, very difficult to approach. No one is coming to God. No one is coming and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So what does he do? He has a big trouble in his mind. Because in the Gita he says, unless and until someone comes to me, I do not offer him that shelter. A person has to approach the Lord in order that the Lord gives him shelter. Now, how is the dilemma going to be solved? In Kali Yuga, no one is going to approach the Lord. They'll approach everyone else and everything else except God. You know, every other place is full except the temple of the Lord many times. Of course, the Bhaktivedanta Manor is very full every Sunday. Today, I think because of the rains and clouded weather, not too many people. Otherwise, Bhaktivedanta Manor is very much full. So, Lord Krishna, he decides to assume the role of a devotee. He's God, but he plays the role of a devotee of God. Because as a devotee, there is no condition. A devotee does not have to wait for someone to come to him. A devotee can personally run after people and say, okay, you take God now. You know, that's Kali Yuga. Patient doesn't come to doctor, doctors have to run after patients. You know, that's the age of Kali Yuga. And therefore, Krishna comes in this age of Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing these two roles. One role is that of God, and the second role, that of devotee of God. Govardhan also is the same. He is God himself. And therefore, when all the offerings were offered to Giriraj, Govardhan, he accepted it all, and whatever was left behind was Prasad, Mahaprasad. And Govardhan also plays the role of a devotee of God. Therefore, is called as Haridasa Varya, the greatest of all devotees of Lord Krishna. Why is he the greatest of all devotees? Because he understands three things very well. The first thing, he understands that I can never approach God without serving the devotees of God. You know, one can never serve God unless one serves the devotee of God. Just like if one wants to approach the Prime Minister of England, one cannot go to the Prime Minister straight. One has to approach the Prime Minister through the secretary of the Prime Minister. Similarly, one cannot approach Krishna directly. One cannot approach God directly. God has to be approached through his devotees. Srila Prabhupada used to quote this American saying which said, "Love me, love my dog." You know, if you want to love me, then first love my dog. Just like a father also. You know, if you want to go and please the father, you don't know him, not. It's very difficult. But a little child, you give him a candy, and the child is very happy, and the child will go to the father and say, "Papa, papa, that uncle gave us candy." Then the papa will come and say, "What do you want?" You know, immediately. So also, Krishna has to be approached through his devotees, and only by serving the devotees of the Lord is the Lord satisfied. Govardhan knows that very well. America, it said, "Love me, love my dog." And today there are 10 million dogs in the world who are beneficiaries to their master's wills. 10 million dogs. And the master has named everything in the name of the dog. You know. And last time I think I mentioned this, that there was a very famous jewelry designer. He made a tiara for his dog, which was, I believe, £2 million worth for the dog. And therefore, the American saying goes, "You want to love me? Love my dog. You want to approach the Prime Minister? Approach directly to the secretary." Govardhan understands that very well. If I have to serve the Lord, be a devotee of God, I have to serve the devotees first. And therefore, Govardhan offers fantastic facilities for all the friends of Lord Krishna. There are fantastic lakes with cool waters, and when the boyfriends of Krishna are playing and they are exhausted, they go and take a dip in this water. They drink this crystal clear cool waters. On Govardhan there are grasses. These grasses have two qualities. Sukomal. Sukomal means they are extremely soft. And Sugandhi. Sugandhi means they are extremely fragrant. And the cows of Vrindavan, they eat this fragrant soft grasses, and the milk that they give is so fragrant. Nowadays you don't get fragrant milk. You know, you don't get milk really many times. Milk nowadays, I don't know how it is here in India, there is more water, few drops of milk are added, you know, in that. There's a liter of water and 4 drops of milk are added, some whitish color and you think that's milk. These grasses are fed to the cows and that milk is used for preparations for Lord Shri Krishna. Giriraj Govardhan has many amazing caves, and in all of these caves, all of the cowherd boyfriends in Krishna perform their pastimes. They play around in these caves. So Govardhan is considered a great devotee because he wants to serve Krishna's devotees and create amazing facilities for Krishna's devotees. And Govardhan is a great devotee because he wants to pay attention to the smallest details in his service. Bhakti means giving attention to details. Ordinary life means chalu kaam. You know, in the world today, people do chalu kaam. You know, they want to cook something, they'll do some chalu kaam. Finish. You know, breakfast, you want to make poha. You know, in here in England also, they make a lot of poha and stuff. You know, they'll make poha, they'll give some chonk, tadka, put some rai, put some chilies and all that. Chalukam. Like I was mentioning this morning, I'm from a Marwadi Jain family. And Marwadi Jain families, even serving poha is considered a great detail. Simple thing like serving poha is considered a great detail. They'll make poha with cashew nuts and raisins, all kinds of stuff inside. Then they'll take a katori, you know. They'll put all of this poha inside and stuff it. And after having stuffed it nicely, then on a plate they'll invert it. So it comes exactly the shape of the katori. It doesn't lie here and there scattered around in the plate. It's all put on this katori. Then on top of that, they'll put grated coconut, finely chopped coriander, give 3 pieces of lemon on the side, and put the save. You know that save? In Bhel you get this very fine kind of save. They'll garnish it with all of that and then they'll offer to the guest. Take it. You know? Refinedness means paying attention to details. Anyone who's refined doesn't do things in a gross way. Anyone who's refined will pay attention to the smallest details of serving a guest, even in this world. What to speak of serving the Lord? Bhakti means paying attention to the finest details of service. There was a sculptor once. He was making a statue of Garuda. He made the statue of Garuda. And after having finished it, he was making a second statue of Garuda again. So a guy saw, "Hey, you made the statue of Garuda. Why are you making the second statue again?" He said, "Oh, actually there is a problem, you know. Some mistake I made in the first statue, so I'm making the second one." He said, "Really? What is the mistake?" He said, "You know, in the beak of Garuda, there's a little scratch here." He said, "Where are you going to put the statue, Murti?" He said, "Can you see this huge, massive pillar? Garuda Stambha, on top of that pillar." The guy said, "Hare, you're going to be putting that statue on the top of that pillar? Who the hell is going to watch? There's a scratch on his beak." He said, "No one will watch. God will." God will watch that I did chalukam, you know. I did some chalukam by leaving a scratch up there on the beak of Garuda. Therefore, bhakti means paying attention to the details of service. Giriraj Govardhan pays such attention to serving Krishna and his devotees. When Krishna and his devotees walk on the rocks of Govardhan, immediately the rocks melt. Wherever they put their feet, the rocks melt so that they feel that it's soft and not the hard rock surface. In winter, the rocks become warm, and in summer, they become cool. Giriraj Govardhan pays such attention to serve Krishna and his devotees because bhakti means paying attention to details. Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji used to pay attention to small details everywhere. He would pay attention to the smallest details in service to Krishna. Once he came to the New Dwarka temple in Los Angeles, and they had this big small details of Radha and Krishna. And they were far off, and the entrance was like at a distance. So when Swamiji Srila Prabhupada, he entered in, way there, far, he saw that the tilak on Krishna's face, made of Gopichandan, one little particle had entered into Lord Krishna's eye. From a distance he saw. And he called one of the devotees. And he said, "Can you see?" He said, "What?" He said, "There's a small particle in Krishna's eye." And this devotee said, "Prabhupada, what to speak of seeing a particle in Krishna's eye? I can't see that Krishna has an eye from such a distance." And I said, "A small detail, you can't even see that there is an eye there." No one could see that Krishna had an eye from such a distance. And Srila Prabhupada could see a fine particle of Chandan entering into Krishna's eye. Because service and bhakti means attention to the smallest details. One of Srila Prabhupada's lady disciples, Jadurani Devi, she was making a painting. She made the painting of Radha Krishna. So Krishna was standing playing a flute and Srimati Radharani was standing there with a garland in her hand, but she was looking in the other direction holding the garland like this. So this painting was seen by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this painting? Does Radharani have another boyfriend?" Why is she looking to the other side? You know? And Jadurani Devi, she felt very embarrassed that she had kind of made a painting like this. And then Srila Prabhupada said, oh, okay, no problem, don't worry. Nothing big about it. Actually, she's wanting to serve Krishna only, but she has offered that garland to Krishna, and now that garland is the Mahaprasad of Krishna, and Srimati Radharani is searching where is Jadurani Devi, you know, because she wants to offer that garland to Jadurani, who has made this beautiful painting. Prabhupada was very attentive. You're making Radharani look there? Not like this. She should be looking towards Krishna. And once they made Radha Krishna, one painter, and Krishna was very, very stout, very muscular. Krishna is very delicate, but he was so stout and muscular, looked like he came from a gym after a workout, you know. And Srila Prabhupada saw this painting, and Prabhupada said, this kind of beauty is the conception of, it's a meat-eating beauty. Krishna's beauty is milk-drinker's beauty, you know. He's not meat-eater's beauty, he said. It's milk-drinker's beauty. So kindly change this. Make him a little delicate. Make him a little slim. Srila Prabhupada, he gave attention to details. Every single detail in service to Krishna. So bhakti means attention to details. When a garland is being made for the deities, a devotee is not just going to take any flower, any color. You know, sometimes just put yellow, red, anything mixture. And when you see it, you don't know what is where. It looks like a crude garland. But when devotees make garland, they'll pay attention to every single flower, the arrangement of the flowers. Back in our temple in Bombay, some of the ladies make these complicated garlands for Krishna. One garland for Krishna takes 5 hours. 5 hours to make one garland. And it's called, I think it's called Taiwanese or something. I can't remember the exact thing. The arrangement of the small, detailed, minute flowers. Now, if you look at it from a distance, no one's going to make out what it is. But Krishna, he's going to see what it is. And therefore, it's a very important principle. Govardhan pays such attention to details in service to Krishna and his devotees. So, Govardhan, we find, is Krishna and simultaneously a devotee of Krishna. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and simultaneously also a devotee of Krishna. So all of these food offerings were given to Giriraj. He took it all. And after he took it all, he gave it back to the devotees as prasad. It all disappeared and suddenly it appeared again as prasad. It's strange, you know, because if someone eats and vomits it out, he says, take my Mahaprasad. Oh my God, it's too much, you know. When someone eats something and pukes out, what comes out? Oh, the kids are... what comes out is quite strange. You can't make out what was what. Sometimes you do when the person is eaten in a hurry and not chewed properly. Sometimes you can make out what's what. In Mahabharata, there is a very bewildering verse. Very bewildering shloka. 5 things should always be considered extremely pure in any circumstance. Firstly, one should consider the paraphernalia of Lord Shiva as pure. And what is the paraphernalia of Lord Shiva? Skulls? What do you consider pure? Skulls? Snakes? And he wears crematorium ashes on his body. Will you consider crematorium ashes as pure? The second thing that one should consider pure is the remnants of food eaten by someone. My God, eating someone's remnants? Too much. Of course, nowadays in Bombay, I don't know how they do it here. In Bombay, in colleges, you know, 4 guys will buy one sandwich. One guy will take a bite, then give it to another. So it's common Mahaprasad. 4 people's Mahaprasad. And when they smoke a cigarette, they'll smoke a common cigarette also. One puff, second puff, third puff. And just that he doesn't lose it fully, he'll fly a puff and he'll only put it to the other guy's mouth. So take it, because otherwise he gives it, he'll take it fully. It's common. Remnants are not considered pure. Other person's saliva is touching it. How can you consider remnants pure? Thirdly, one should consider the cloth coming from a dead body as pure and wear it. My God. If you carry someone to cremate for cremation and on top of him, you know, you have this white cloth. Bola, achha hai, I'll take it. stitch a nice shirt for office, you know, from a dead body. Fourth thing, one should consider a place where crows pass stool as pure. Imagine someone's going for a party and suddenly the crow passes on the head. So it's extremely pure, Mahabharata explains. You know, I'm purified and I'll go to the party and purify the whole party. It's too much. And the fifth thing is when one pukes out, one should consider the vomit as extremely pure. Can you imagine that? I'm sure you're all bewildered enough. And I'm sure you're all intrigued enough. Why does the Mahabharata say like this? The first is, one should consider the paraphernalia of Lord Shiva as pure. It doesn't refer to skulls and snakes. It refers to the Ganga that comes from the head of Lord Shiva. So Ganga is also paraphernalia of Lord Shiva. And therefore Ganges is considered extremely purifying to one's consciousness. Secondly, one should consider the remnants of others' food as pure. Not of anyone. Cow's milk. Because when a cow gives milk, the calf goes and drinks the milk first. When the calf goes and touches the mouth to the other and drinks the milk, then the rest of the milk that is available is there for others. Therefore, what are we drinking? We're not drinking the milk purely straight. It is the Mahaprasad of the calf. And it's considered so pure, it's used to bathe the Lord for Abhishek. The third thing, one should consider cloth from a dead body as pure. What is cloth from a dead body that's pure? It's silk. Because when you want to have silk, the cocoon is dead. And only when the cocoon is dead do you get silk thread. And silk cloth can be made out of it. Therefore, the cloth from a dead body that is pure is silk coming out of a cocoon. And it's considered so extremely pure that even if you visit a funeral ceremony and you don't take a shower, if you're wearing silk cloth, you can walk straight onto the altar and worship the deities. It's considered so extremely pure, silk. The fourth is where a crow passes stool, that place should be considered pure. Of course, not anywhere and everywhere, not on the windowsill. It refers to banyan tree. A banyan tree is a place where crows pass stool a lot. In fact, a banyan seed will not germinate and grow into a tree unless it is fertilized by crow stool. This is science, not Gita. Unless the seed of a banyan tree is fertilized by the stool of a crow, that seed will not grow. So a place where crow passes stool is to be considered pure, that's a banyan tree. And the last is definitely very interesting. You know, when someone vomits, that vomit should be considered pure and it should be eaten. Honey. A honeybee will go flower to flower, collect nectar and come to the beehive and vomit it out. And will pull it all out and will take an ice cream and have the honey trickling down. Say, wow. It's considered vomit. So the Mahabharata says that these five things should be considered extremely pure. Govardhan gave all the prasadam out. Everything was vomited out. But when Krishna gives it, it is intact. Thanks to Krishna that he doesn't eat everything. Otherwise, what will we do? You know, if Krishna takes everything, what will the devotees eat? We thank Krishna. You don't eat everything. You leave things on the plate so that devotees can enjoy and relish nice Mahaprasadam. As the offerings were done and the prasadam was taken, all the Brajabasis were ecstatic. They were very, very joyful. They were very, very happy. They've taken the risk of offending Indra. And when one offends a great person, they had taken the risk of stopping Indra Puja. They should have been fearful. They should have been paranoid. They weren't fearful. They weren't paranoid. They were very happy. They were very joyful. Why? Because they had followed the instruction of God and served Govardhan. Thus, when one follows the words of God and serves God, one becomes happy and joyful. The way to be happy is not simply amassing things. The way to be happy is not simply getting things in life. The way to be happy is using those things in a way that those things give us happiness. Things don't give happiness. Those things used in a certain way give happiness. Otherwise, if things were to give happiness, there's things all over. The people who have so many things, all kinds of gadgets. They'll have iPhone 3, iPhone 4, iPhone 4G, iPhone 3G, iPhone 2G, iPhone 5G and 8G. Whenever they come. They'll have all. On 3G, they speak to wife. On 3GS, they speak to someone else. You know. On 4G, they talk to the boss. So many things. So many gadgets. So many cars. So many assets. And all of those things really give satisfaction. All of those things really give joy. I haven't found one person. Right? I've met so many people who have so much. And I haven't found one person who is happy simply with things. You know? Not happy with things. But when those things are used properly for the right purpose of service to the Lord, then those things give happiness. Things don't have the ability to give happiness. The things used rightly have the ability to give happiness. And therefore the Brajabasis, they've taken all of their paraphernalia and used it in service to Govardhan. Because they'd used it in service to Govardhan under the instructions of Lord Krishna, all of them felt immediately satisfied, gratified. Otherwise, everyone has a list of desires to fulfill. But these people were totally contented and satisfied. One man, 99 years old, he was dead. And when he went to the heavens, he saw the beautiful heavenly damsels. He saw the wonderful facilities of heaven. And he said, "Late aaya main idhar." He said, "Agar main Ramdev Baba ke paas nahi gaya hota na, 30 saal pehle hi aa jata tha idhar." You know, if I wouldn't have gone to Ramdev Baba, I would have come here 30 years back only. Because 30 years got delayed because of pranayama and stuff, I lived longer. And I missed the heavenly delights, enjoying the apsaras and the beautiful facilities of heavens. Of course, Ramdev Baba doing great work, bringing people to higher levels of life through yoga, pranayama, and making people to understand things in a deeper way. You know, therefore, satisfaction doesn't come simply by resources and facilities. It comes when those resources are used properly in service to God. And therefore use, we should all use what we have. Our body, our mind, our words, our family, our house, our resources. Everything in service to the Lord in a way that each of those things now get the potential to satisfy us and give us fulfillment. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when you water the root of the tree, automatically the parts are satisfied. Krishna is the root of the tree. We are all the parts. We satisfy Krishna is like watering the root. Automatically, all of us find inner satisfaction. Satisfaction is not external satisfaction. Inner satisfaction and happiness. You know? Of course, all the Brajabasis, when they were satisfied, Lord Krishna had accepted all the offerings and finally he had accepted one tulsi leaf when nothing was available. Therefore, Lord Krishna is called Bhavagrahi. He sees the intent of the offering. He doesn't see what we are offering externally. He sees whether we are offering our heart. It's not a question of offering a big feast to Krishna, or it's not a question of offering one small roti and sabji to Krishna. It's a question of offering our heart. Through a massive feast with calzones and pizzas and burgers, you know, ice creams. What we are offering is not calzones and ice creams. We are offering our heart through that. And someone may be offering a small little rotli and bateka no saag, you know, potato sabji. What is offering is not a rotli and bateka no saag. What is offering actually is a devotion of his heart. And Krishna tastes that devotion of the heart. Krishna was very satisfied with the massive offerings that were offered. But if we don't have the massive offerings, no problem. Any little thing that is offered to Lord Krishna with sincere intent of pleasing him, Krishna is very much satisfied with that. The problem, however, is of this world is someone's happiness is others' misery. you know. When it's rainy season and cold winters and everyone's falling sick, people around are miserable and the doctors are ecstatic. They're joyful. Business time. You know. When it's massive rains and vehicles skid on the streets. I don't know how much it happens here, but in India when it's monsoons, vehicles skid. And all those who have automobile garages, they're very happy. People are breaking their cars down and they're very happy. Someone's joy, another person's suffering. When all the residents of Vrindavan were very, very happy, there's one person who wasn't happy. And that was Indra. Indra wasn't happy because Lord Krishna had told all the residents of Vrindavan to stop the offerings to him. His puja had been stopped. And therefore life is such. We are happy so long as we get our quota. As soon as the quota stops, we say no. Now what's life? So long as God is giving us our quota, fine. As soon as the quota stops, say, better not go to God. He's not giving us our quota now. So long as Indra was getting his quota, his worship, his adoration, his respect, his puja, Indra was very happy. As soon as this was stopped, Indra was now miserable. He couldn't stand it. I have been worshipped by these residents of Vrindavan for ages, and now this little talkative boy Krishna, he stops my worship. I cannot stand it. I cannot handle it. In Bengal, there was a very wealthy man. And the problem with this wealthy man was he wouldn't get servants to work in his house. Of course, that's a problem in England. You know, it's not easy to maintain servants here. In India, what an opulence, you know. Even a middle class person who earns 5,000 rupees has four servants at home. One person will come clean the clothes and go. The other lady will come to clean the pots. One lady will come to cook. It's a great opulence. So many servants. Here, everything has to be done by the self, because affording servants is a luxury for the wealthy and the rich. This wealthy landlord in Bengal, no servants would come to his house somehow. So one day he was talking to his friend and said, I have a big problem. I said, what? He said, no servants stay in my house. He said, I'll give you a secret. You get a servant and feed him balam rice and ghee. Balam rice is a special variety, very fine and special variety of rice in Bengal. You make this balam rice and put cow ghee on top. Glistening golden cow ghee, and feed him for 6 months, and for 6 months don't ask him to do any work. Just feed him. What is this? He's my servant or he's my master? I said, no, you feed him. I said, okay, you're telling me this is a secret, I'll do it. But this landlord, he made fine variety of balam ghee, balam rice and ghee, and for 6 full months all he did was cooked, put it on a platter and made his servant sit down and fed him this balam rice and ghee. 6 months were over. He said to the friend, what's next, you know, otherwise all life I'll have to feed him only. The friend said, now you tell him to do some work. He said, okay. So he told his servant after 6 months, okay, now you have eating rice and ghee is over, now clean the house. He said, clean the house? He said, yeah, of course clean the house. You're my servant. Queried some little. He started loading him with more and more. And then one day this guy came and said, see, if you're going to load me with more work now, I'm going to leave and go. I'll leave this job and go away. One day the landlord said, okay, go. No problem. You go. So the guy left. But when he left, he was missing his balam rice and ghee. He thought, oh my God. All those fine memories of the fine balam rice with ghee. He was missing it so much he couldn't afford it. He realized there's no choice. I have to go back. I'll have to work a little hard, no problem. But I'll at least get my balam rice and ghee. Similarly, great souls like Srila Prabhupada, they know that to engage people in this Kali Yuga, they need to be fed good balam rice and ghee. Till the time they're given balam rice and ghee, they're not going to do any service. As soon as you load with service, I'm leaving the temple. I'm not going to come to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. When they used to come before, they would give me sandesh. And they would give me burfis. Now they give me service. You know, they ask me to take a broom and clean. But what to do? The respect, the honor, the mahaprasad, the love they give is like the balam rice and ghee. Although they ask me to work a little bit now, what to do? I have to keep coming again and again. You see, in one of our temples in Europe, one guy, new European, I think it's Italy, one guy came in and the pujari saw he's coming in, new fellow. So he decided to give him some prasad. It was a night offering. So there was a glass of condensed milk, rabdi. So he told one devotee, go and give this fellow here. So this devotee came and gave this rabdi to this man. And the guy took this rabdi. He said, wow, it's far out. Never tasted something like this in my life. I must go back to this temple. Every day he started coming, not because of Krishna, not because of devotees, not because of books, not because there was something very inspiring to him. What was nice for him was the balam rice and ghee in the form of rabdi. He said, wow, great. And he took this rabdi so much, he got transformed and he started chanting Hare Krishna. He started reading the Gita. He started following Krishna consciousness. He became a devotee. He decided to move into the temple. And the day he moved into the temple, in the night, the pujari came with a glass of condensed milk again and handed it over to him. He said, oh, how loving. He said, can you see that guy in the corner? Give it to him now. Now your job is done. Now the balam rice and ghee must go to the other guy. But I must tell that the greatest balam rice and ghee is appreciation. It's not food. It's not just some gifts. It's appreciation. Encouragement is greatest balam rice and ghee. Indra had received his balam rice and ghee for a long time. They had worshipped him. They had offered sacrifices to him. And suddenly rice and ghee stopped. Who asked to stop? Krishna asked to stop. This talkative 7-year-old boy said, stop that puja to him. Stop respecting Indra. Stop worshipping Indra. This guy was very upset now, you know. For a person who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. You know, cannot handle it. And therefore, Indra being so furious, he decided to shower Vrindavan with massive downpour of rains. All over the sky there were dark, ominous clouds called the Samavarta clouds, which are meant to be coming up in the sky at the time of annihilation. All of these clouds came up and there was massive downpour. Every drop of rainwater was like a massive pillar. There was pitch darkness all over Vrindavan. No one could see anything. There was thunder, lightning, and such rains of devastation that would destroy the entire Vrindavan. When this devastation began, all the Brajbasis, they were scared. They would die in such massive rains meant for annihilation. And therefore, another nature of this world is, whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, suffering is always here. There's no question of not suffering. If you ever thought that I will become a devotee and suffering will go away, all this Vrindavan residents are devotees of Krishna, and look at the suffering coming in the form of massive rains that Indra is sending. Therefore, those who come to the path of spirituality should never have any utopian ideas about spirituality. People, when they come to the path of Krishna consciousness or spirituality, they have utopian ideas of spirituality, that spirituality will make us all free from suffering. There will be no trouble in life. Everything will become rosy, cozy. Everything will be set right. All the problems will be gone. That's the promises made by some kind of false people out there. In Mumbai, if you go in the local trains, there's this advertisement there in Hindi. I can translate into English for those who don't understand later. You know, in Hindi they say, Prem Prakaran, Vashikaran, Nokri Dhanda, Sehat Ki Samasyaen, Court Kacheri, Kisi Bhi Prakar Ki Samasya Ke Liye Miliye, Baba Raja Murad Bengali Se. You know, Oh my God. You know, if you have any problem, heart breaks, love affair not working out, married life coming to the verge of a divorce, you know, any legal complications, health problems, any problems, simply come and meet Baba Raja Murad Bangali. And what does Baba Raja Murad Bangali do? He gives you a talisman. You know what a talisman is? In Hindi they call it tait. They got the silver kind of structures where they fill in some stuff inside and do some kind of boom boom kum kum clean clean peem peem. They do kind of chant some mantras. And they put it on your arm, put it around your neck, and all your problems will be solved. A heartbreak, no problem. Another heart you can get, not an issue. You know, no problem. Don't worry. Everything will be sorted out for you. All false promises. Lord Krishna in the Gita never makes false promises. This material world is Dukkhalayam and it will remain Dukkhalayam. For everyone else it's Dukkhalayam. And by coming to Krishna, it doesn't become Sukhalayam. It still remains Dukkhalayam. The difference is, when misery comes and suffering comes in the life of a devotee, he has two things with him. He has Krishna with him and he has devotees with him. Whereas a person who is not on the path of spirituality, he doesn't have God and devotees of God to support him, to guide him, to help him in the time of difficulty. Therefore, we should remember, misery is inevitable. Suffering is optional. What comes in life is inevitable. Whether we allow that to affect us is optional. When we are with Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna, when we are with the devotees of Krishna who are all around us to help us, then yes, the worst situation in life can be handled with great strength and faith. Therefore, this morning I was sharing in our seminar on cultivating positive thoughts. A ship is sailing on the waters. There's water all over. And the ship sails on the water. Whether the ship will sink or sail depends on whether the water gushes into the ship or doesn't gush into the ship. If there's a hole in the ship, all the water enters in and the ship sinks. The same water that's meant to make the ship float makes the ship sink when there's a hole in the ship. Similarly, we are surrounded by troubles, problems, difficulties, trying circumstances, tribulations, suffering all around us. Like a ship is surrounded by water all around, similarly, our life is surrounded by such kind of circumstances all around. It's not something unusual. It's not something unnatural. It's not something out of place. Day in and day out, there are difficulties. Sometimes there's difficulties coming from the family. Sometimes there's difficulties coming from the government. Sometimes there's difficulty coming from the mind. Sometimes there's difficulties coming from the body. Sometimes there's difficulty coming from the boss in the office. It's constantly some difficulties and suffering and problems coming around. It's all around like the water of the ship. If there is a hole, that water enters in and makes the ship sink. Similarly, if there's a hole in the heart, all of these difficulties, problems enter our heart, affect us. The inevitable was there, but the suffering was optional. We could have allowed our heart to remain sealed without having a hole in the heart. Krishna and Krishna's devotees seal that hole. The personalities that seal the hole is Krishna and his devotees. Otherwise, all these miseries and troubles are there to make a big hole in the heart, and no cardiac surgeon can fix that hole. Every little thing affects us. Someone says something, we are upset. Someone does something, we are upset. Someone eats in a certain way, we are upset. Someone walks in a certain way, we are upset. How much it affects us. And therefore, do not ever have a utopian idea of spirituality that if I come to the path of spirituality, suffering will all be gone. If suffering were gone, why were these Brajbasis who were devotees of Krishna on the path of Krishna consciousness being subjected to such massive suffering in the form of massive pillars of rainwater. It was pillars like water drops meant for devastation. All of these devotees of Krishna would be submerged in the deluge of these rains and would be destroyed, never to see the light of the day again. So, don't get carried away by this new age ideas that if I take to spirituality, everything will be sorted out for me. What will be sorted out is our inner consciousness. Outer things never get sorted out. Our inner consciousness can definitely be sorted out in a way that our whole is sealed. Krishna and his devotees and their support systems will seal our hearts in a way that what's around us won't affect us. And therefore, we have to know one thing. If there's trouble, do one thing. Run to Krishna. All the Brajavasis, when it started pouring, they didn't know what to do. They knew one thing. Let me run to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Twannatha, Sharanam, Prabho. My dear Lord Krishna, O Lord of the most fortunate ones, you are our master. You are the one who can save us from this trying circumstance, this suffering and this difficulty. You're the only one who can protect us from this. And therefore, if not in good times, at least in bad times we can think of Krishna. We should be thinking of Krishna all the time. And if we can't think of Krishna all the time and can't come to the temple all the time, at least when there is a difficulty, we should run to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, who will help us to remain unaffected in such a situation. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Krishnaika Sharanam. Taking shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. Last night I was telling a story. One guy was trying to walk over a bridge. A very shaky bridge. Water underneath. Big river. And as he was walking on the bridge, he realized that the bridge is very dodgy. It's very shaky. He'll fall into the waters. As he was just about to start walking on the bridge, he saw on the other end of the bridge, God standing there. And he said to God, "My dear God, Lord, please come to this side. Please come to this side and help me cross this river on the shaky bridge." God has no other business, isn't it? Simply to cross the river to help us walk on the shaky bridge. So please, my dear Lord, come and take me across this river on the shaky bridge. Otherwise, I'll fall in waters. God didn't come. He yelled and screamed louder. Lord, please come. I'll fall into these waters. Please help me cross the river on the shaky bridge. God didn't come. But he had to go, so very slowly, yet steadily, he kept walking little, slowly. And reached the other end and he saw God standing there. And he was furious. Said, "I always heard you should take shelter of God to cross suffering." And that bald fellow from Bombay also said the same thing in his class. And now, I called out for you and you didn't come. Why? The Lord said, "My dear son, the bridge was so shaky. I was holding the other side so that you don't fall. If I would have left it and walked across, both of us would have gone down. You would have drowned. For me, it's no problem anyways. I was holding the bridge so that you could cross the river." Many times when we call out for the Lord and his protection and we don't see that he answers our call and when we don't see that he's coming across to help us, remember, even his not coming is his help. His coming is his help. And his not coming is his help. Because in his not coming also, he's holding the bridge so that we can cross across and come across the bridge, across the river, to the other side of the river. All the residents of Vrindavan had this faith, had this trust that he is holding the bridge. Why holding the bridge? Now he'll hold the hill. And, he will take care of us. And therefore they came to Krishna and said to Krishna, "Please help us." And therefore, although the world is full of suffering, whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, when you're not a devotee, Krishna doesn't come to you. When you're a devotee, Krishna and his devotees are there to help us. Always remember the famous dictum again, misery is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Whether we allow that misery to affect us or not is our choice. Lord Krishna came running towards Govardhan, Giriraj. As he was running towards Govardhan, Krishna's energy, the Yoga Maya Shakti, made such an amazing arrangement that not a single drop of water fell on Krishna, and the path where Krishna walked, everywhere, massive deluge, flood, and only the path that Krishna walked on, dry. And not a single drop of water touched Lord Krishna. As Lord Krishna came there, he lifted up the Govardhan hill. He was 7 years old. With the last finger of his left hand, he picked up the Govardhan hill and held it up there for 7 days and 7 nights. And it's not that he was frowning. You know, like when they go for a workout and they use this dumbbells and weights and they have this... their arms are trembling and their expressions are... I mean, you must take pictures of those expressions. Horrible! You know, and they're just waiting when to leave it. As soon as the time is over, damn, it falls. They don't even place it. Just come straight down. You know, Krishna is lifting this and giving a beautiful smile. That is God. Anyone claims to be God, na? Let him lift Govardhan hill first. Anyone can say, I am an incarnation of God. India is full of such people. Lot of gods appear in India. You know. Somehow, even today, I was saying this yesterday, last night in our program, that in America, there are 350 men today who claim that they are the resurrected Christ who has come from the cross to save the world. And these 350 men who claim that they are the Christ, some are behind bars, some are in a mental asylum. Either they are in a mental crazy hospital, what do they call it here? Funny home, what is that? Huh? Yeah, lunatic asylum. There's another word they use. Not madhouse. Here in England, there's a funny farm. Yes, that's it. Thank you. I was just trying to get that word right. Yeah, I thought it was funny house. It's called the funny farm here. Huh? The lunatic asylum, the mental asylum, the madhouse, the funny farm. Either these 350 people who claim themselves to be the resurrected Christ are behind bars as punishment or in a lunatic asylum. And in India, if someone claims to be God, they put him on a pedestal. They worship him. They start a whole organization in his name. And they start preaching about the glories of a new God. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching here in the West and in India at that time, the early 70s, Srila Prabhupada would always ask his disciples, so who is the God this week? You know, because there would be a new God who would come every week. Prabhupada would say, who is the God this week? It's not funny to know that. It's so common all over. You know, in India, if I start talking about this, next 2 hours we'll go in explaining the glories of the human gods there, who have been made into gods by people there, you know. But here's God, lifting the Govardhan hill, 7 days, 7 nights, extraordinary activity, massive hill, and no frown on the face, a beautiful smile on the face. This huge water drops being poured on Govardhan. Then Govardhan get affected? Then the Govardhan hill feel the pain of this massive water drops? No. Why? Because Krishna's finger was touching the Govardhan hill. Remember, downpour of troubles and problems is all the time there. Always have Krishna touching your life. As soon as Krishna touches, the miraculous magic touch of Krishna comes in life, let whatever come doesn't affect a person. Just like Govardhan Giriraj, Krishna's finger touch, all this massive water drops did not affect Giriraj, Govardhan. In fact, the lions and the deer moving around, they were feeling Krishna's holding. They were in such ecstasy that the lion was roaring up there in the cloud loudly. What the hell you're thinking you're doing? Massive rain going on there. The lions were roaring, the deers were moving around, and Govardhan had no issues because of the touch of Lord Sri Krishna. And when Krishna held the Govardhan hill, he called all the devotees, all the residents of Vrindavan, come under the Govardhan hill like a massive umbrella, you know. And therefore, we have to remember, sometimes it needs a massive calamity for everyone to come together. We are all in our own worlds, we are all in our own lives, we are all in our own shells. Sometimes a calamity, a catastrophe brings everyone together, unified under that one shelter, the shelter of Giriraj, under that one shelter, the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhaktivedanta Manor is a testimony to this principle. When there was this trouble for the entrance to the Bhaktivedanta Manor, there was a massive campaign that was done. All the congregation members, the Hindu Forum of Britain, the Hindus, everyone was here. Everyone doing their own japa, their own sadhana. They were satisfied. They were living their lives peacefully. And a calamity on one of the most worshipable sites of London, the Bhaktivedanta Manor, brought all the devotees together to serve. Right? Everyone came together, unified, you know, marching for their rights. That we want these rights, we want a proper entrance. And we know that this campaign, an apparent calamity, turned out to be a great opportunity. And therefore in life, calamities do come. But if we have the right consciousness and the proper spirit, we will take that calamity as an opportunity to go up in life, to grow in life. All the devotees here struggled hard to get the rights. And today the benefit is we have a first class road coming in here, nice car park, and so many people on Janmashtami, 70, 80,000 people coming, and everything can be so well facilitated. Therefore, calamities, when the shelter of Krishna, can turn out to be greatest opportunities. All the Brajabasis and the residents of Vrindavan came under the Govardhan hill. Krishna protected them. And Krishna will always protect us. If we take shelter of Krishna, He will always protect us. And protection is not so much physical. That's fine. Physical protection God gives, that's fine. Real protection is the Lord protects us from falling to temptations. Therefore, in the Holy Bible, there is a prayer. O Father, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, let Thy kingdom come, let Thy will be done on earth, as is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, for Yours is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. You go to a Christian church, you'll find this prayer chanted always. Protection is not simply protect now, there's a disease, take my disease away, go to a doctor. You know, oh my dear Lord, there's a problem with my financial investments, go to a financial consultant. You know, no problem. My dear Lord, there's a problem with my slip disc, go to an orthopedic surgeon. Fine, things will all be sorted out. The people who can deal with that. The greatest protection that the Lord offers us is to not fall to temptation. Very crucial. Always a right choice and a wrong choice in front of us. And the way we are and the way the world is, usually we tend to fall to the wrong choices. And therefore, the greatest protection offered by the Lord is a protection, internal protection, where He always helps us to make the proper choices and not fall to temptation. 1967, United States of America, Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he had already registered his society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. Two very, very young American, an American young couple, guy and a girl, they're married now, they came to meet Swamiji. The guy had studied in the University of Texas. He had studied art. Both loved Swamiji. They were so inspired by the teachings of Swamiji, they decided to follow what the Swami had to teach. They took shelter of the Swami, learned his teachings, followed his teachings. And they even went to the extent of taking initiation, and their American names were now changed to Indian spiritual names. The guy became Gaur Sundar Das, and the lady became Govindadasi. This couple, very dear to Swamiji, traveling around with Swamiji as a secretary. Once they were living in New Jersey, United States. While they were living in New Jersey, 67-68, one of the problems in those days was the Vietnam War. All the young guys in America were being drafted for the war. Whether they believed in the war or not was not the concern. Whether they really had the guts and the ability to fight or not was not the concern. They just needed young blood. People who could just be drafted into the army and go out there and fight. Gaur Sundar, young man, he was coming from a military family, and his family wanted to be him to be an Air Force pilot, but he had gone to the University of Texas to study arts. And now was the time. Although he had not been an Air Force pilot, here was the time to go to Vietnam and at least fight for the nation. Although he didn't want to, although he didn't know how to do it, and the family was pushing him. Hey, go. They didn't call him Gaur Sundar, whatever his American name was. You must go. And he didn't want to go. And Swamiji didn't want him to go either, because the purpose wasn't right. As they were living with Swamiji, one day, the doomsday came. The letter came for Gaur Sundar to be drafted in the American army for Vietnam War. He came to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, I have to go for the Vietnam War. I don't like to go. I don't want to go. I can't go. I don't know what to do about it. I want to be here and serve the Lord. What should I do? Said, what choice do you have? You have to go. Swami said, don't worry. I shall pray to Krishna that he protects you. Gaur Sundar had red beads in his neck and a small little Jagannath as a pendant in his beads. He decided to leave. Govindadasi, his wife, was very sad. Prabhupada was very sad that he's going. No one knows what's going to happen if he's drafted in the draft board. Vietnam War is gone. If he dies, what about him? He's a nice devotee. What will happen to him? So Gaur Sundar went. And all through the day, Govindadasi, while doing all her services, she was thinking of her husband. And even Prabhupada, 2-3 times mentioned, oh, Gaur Sundar hasn't come. What's happening to Gaur Sundar? And as they were thinking so, that evening, suddenly, they heard the voice of Gaur Sundar. And he came back. Govindadasi was so excited, he's back. He's supposed to be drafted in the army, he's back. So what happened? How did you come back? Very simple. I went there. They saw my dhoti and my kurta. American army. Looks like he's coming from the funny farm. And they saw this clay marks and saw, what's this person in the neck? What is hanging? And when they saw this, they asked him, what is this? He said, this is God. Very weird God. And then suddenly sitting there in front of the guy who was interviewing him, Gaur Sundar started rolling his eyes upwards, as if in a yogic trance. And the guy who was supposed to draft him realized, normal nahi aadmi hai. This guy doesn't seem normal. So in those days, they had several statuses. They had 2Y, 2G, 3Y, 4G, depending on the extent of your madness. He was given the status 3Y. Pagal hai, lekin pura pagal nahi hua hai abhi tak. He's not fully mad yet, but mad. Not suitable for our army. And he was taken out. And when he came back, Srila Prabhupada said, I was constantly praying to Lord Krishna for you, Gaur Sundar, that he protects you. They wanted you in the American army. I wanted you in Lord Chaitanya's army. And I couldn't lose you. I was constantly praying to Lord Krishna, you know, that he'll send you back. And therefore, Krishna will only protect us when his devotees are praying for us. We should please the devotees and serve the devotees so much that every devotee is offering a prayer for us. Krishna, protect him or her. Krishna, take care of him or her. And when a devotee prays, Krishna listens. You know, as soon as a favorite devotee of Krishna prays, Krishna listens and offers his protection. All the Brajavasis were protected by Lord Krishna when he lifted the Govardhan hill. Everyone underneath. But there was another protection also that was offered to another devotee. The other devotee was Indra. He had become proud. He had become proud of his controllership. I am the god of rains. I am the one who showers rains to give everyone grains. Otherwise their life will have stains. You know, it's important that they worship me. What the hell, they are not worshipping me? Who is this boy to stop my worship? Indra was very upset because he was proud. He was not the doer, he was simply a helper. Krishna is the doer, we are all helpers. But the problem is, when the helper starts thinking he's a doer, that's where the problem is. When the position comes, one gets attached to that position, one gets attached to that particular kind of activity and forgets it's God who is giving it to me. You know, Indra, very much affected. In this world, everyone thinks, I am doing everything, I am great. Yesterday I was telling in our team leaders meeting, there was a drunkard, you know, was totally drunk in India, called Sharabi, no, in India. This fully drunk guy, he was walking by a temple and he was asking the pujari, is dunya mein sabse kaun bada? Who is the biggest here? So the pujari said, I have to get rid of him somehow. He said, sabse kaun bada? Sabse mandir bada. The temple is the greatest. Mandir bada? The drunk guy said, mandir bada to dharti pe kyun khada? The temple is so great, why is the temple standing on earth? Oh, this pujari said, my God, this is a tough guy. He said, arre baba, theek hai, dharti badi. The earth is great. He said, arre dharti badi to sheshnag pe kyun padi? You know, earth is great, why is earth held by the sheshnag? So then the pujari said, arre baba, theek hai, sheshnag bada baba. He said, sheshnag bada to shivji ke gale mein kyun pada? If Nag is so great, why did he come in the neck of Lord Shiva? All right, my dear sir. Shivji bada, Shivji. He said, Shivji bada to Kailash Parvat pe kyun khada? I'm standing on the mountain that... The pujari said, arre baba, Parvat bada. The guy said, Parvat bada to Hanumanji ke ungli pe kyun pada? Hanumanji held the Parvat and rained Sanjeevani. Now this pujari was very upset. You know, he said to the guy, mere bhai, you tell me, kaun bada? This guy said, is dunya mein wo bada, jo ek botal sharab peene ke baawjood bhi apni do taang pe khada. You know, after taking a whole bottle, still this guy is standing on his legs. See my greatness. Oh my God. Everyone in this world is so proud of his doership and abilities. Indra had this problem, and therefore Lord Krishna wanted to purify Indra of his pride by showing that you are not the doer, you are the helper. It's I who appointed you there, and if you are not going to do things the right way, I have the facility to take your powers away as well. And therefore, when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, massive rains, all Brajavasis under, nothing happened to one Brajavasi. Indra started sending massive breezes and winds to topple Govardhan off Lord Krishna's finger. Not to any avail. Indra was absolutely humbled, you know. And then, for 7 days and seven nights, under that one shed, Govardhan, all the residents of Vrindavan were constantly gazing at the beautiful form of Krishna. They had wanted to be with the Lord for all the time, but life is such, you can't. And therefore this calamity had given them an opportunity to be with Lord Krishna 24/7, actually 24/7. For a whole week, 7 days, they were under the Govardhan hill, witnessing the beauty of Krishna. Imagine if I gaze at one of you for 10 minutes non-stop. You'll think, this guy reads minds? Or does he have the ability to hypnotize others? Or probably he's coming from a funny farm. One or the others. You know? If you gaze at someone for 10 minutes, people can't handle it. They can't maintain eye contact with you for more than 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes. Suddenly they feel something's uncomfortable here. Why is he looking at me like this all the time? Look at Radha Gokulananda. Standing there for last over 30, 35, 40 years. Come and gaze at him anytime. How many people coming and gazing at him? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Look at him non-stop. And when you take his darshan, and he looks at you, that reciprocation is such an amazing reciprocation. In that reciprocation is satisfaction. In that reciprocation is protection. And in that reciprocation is upliftment, you know. All the Brajabasis under Govardhan Hill, non-stop gazing at Lord Sri Krishna. There was a massive downpour of rain outside, a flood outside, and there was a massive flood inside as well, under the Govardhan Hill. This was the flood of the tears of all the devotees, the residents of Vrindavan. They were so amazed by Krishna's beauty. They were so touched by Krishna's love, that as they were gazing at the beautiful form of Krishna, torrential tears were pouring down their eyes, gliding down their cheeks, causing a massive flood underneath the Govardhan Hill. And therefore, bhakti is a reciprocation of relationships. In this world, there is only one ship that doesn't sink, the ship of relationship. Every other ship will sink. The only one ship that doesn't sink is relationship and friendship with God and God's men. He will never sink us. He will never dishearten us. He will never let us down. You know. And therefore, in Govardhan we find amazing reciprocations of relationships. Like I mentioned in the beginning, things never give contentment. Meaningful relationships where affection is shared gives satisfaction. That is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is not a dry process of sitting in meditation. On what? On nothing. I mean, I've always wondered, how do you meditate on nothing? People meditate on nothing. Bhakti yoga is full of juice. Bhakti yoga is full of reciprocation of love. Why? Because there is relationships with God, with God's men. And in those relationships, there's tremendous amount of satisfaction. Indra was humbled. And when Indra was humbled, he came. What should I do now? I should go and beg forgiveness from the Lord. But I can't approach the Lord directly. I must go through a devotee of the Lord. Someone who's very dear, you know. Like when the child does a lot of mischief and really his report cards all red marks, you know, all failed in 4 subjects. He wants to go and show the card to the father and the father is supposed to sign. His mummy, Papa likes you a lot. Please. Indra also thought, going to Papa straight? Too much. I must take Mama. And therefore Indra realized, Krishna loves cows. He took the Surabhi cow. And the Surabhi cow was taken to Lord Krishna. And the Surabhi cow pleaded on Indra's behalf, please forgive Indra. And in this way, Indra's offense and mistake was forgiven. And therefore, one cannot approach the Lord directly, even if one makes a mistake. Forgiveness can only come when we approach the Lord through His dear devotees. And there's a lot more that could be said about the subject matter, but I've kind of quickly tried to browse through the whole subject of Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill. This weekend we are celebrating Annakoot in honor of Krishna's lifting the Govardhan Hill. And I believe there is also the Goshala opening on Saturday, official opening, which is all in celebration of Govardhan Puja and Go Puja. So all of you are invited to participate in this fantastic festival. I wish to thank all of you very, very much for being here this evening to attend the last part of this lecture series, which is entitled A Hill That Thrills, Lessons from Krishna's Lifting the Govardhan Hill. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.